Okay, we're recording? Okay. So the bulk of the shiurim we've been talking about the institution of Tuas HaPesach, particularly as it relates to Sukkah, or at least according to Meir Yerushalmi, doesn't relate to Sukkah. Of course, we had to acquaint ourselves with some of the details of Tuas HaPesach in terms of Chas Erevin, and we basically came to the conclusion that, at least according to the Ran, Tuas HaPesach actually does not even work in a Sukkah, on a level of deraisa. True, the Gemara does speak about Tuas HaPesach by Sukkah, but those are scenarios where anyway the Sukkah is kasher min haTorah. As the Ran explained, we already have the halacha b'shtina, shtayim kifasot ha'shlish tefilo tefach. So we have our two walls. Don't forget the Ran said yesterday, those two walls must be connected to each other. If not, then you're up the creek for multiple reasons. And then you have that third wall, which halacha b'shtina teaches us is sufficient with the tefach. And then with the Rabbanon, to supplement that, you have to throw in the Tuas HaPesach for good luck. So, yes, it's true that there is a halacha of Tuas HaPesach and Uchas Sukkah, but at least according to the Ran, it's not true on the level of their eyes. So the Rosh disagreed. The Rosh said that Tuas HaPesach actually do work in a Torah for Sukkah. The fact that the Maisa didn't work is only a Chumim Midrabanan. But Be'en Lefi Ran, Be'en Lefi Rosh, sometimes Tuas HaPesach do work in a Sukkah. And it's with that background that we now move on to the 14th of the Maimon Kamos, where the Mordechai quotes from the name of the Rav Yah the following statement. The name of the Rav Yah, Shemagim hakonim ha'omd in the Tuas HaPesach ad l'schach, af al pi she'en kon ha'gabeim kosher. Says the Rav Yah, we usually think of a Tuas HaPesach, like the Lashon HaGemara was, konim mikan, one pole over here, konim mikan, one pole over here, I don't have three arms, but kon ha'gabeim, the third pole, the third string, wire, whatever it's going to be, is going to go on top. That's like chok v'layav. If you don't have that top mashkof, it sounds like it's a late sonos. What kind of Tuas HaPesach is that? Says the Rav Yah, when you have a Tuas HaPesach in a sukkah, it's not always necessary to make that third pole or the third string on top. You know why? Because anyway you have things on top. What do you have on top? Called tzchach. Means by definition, you're going to have something on top. Now, whether that thing on top is a perfect line like a bamboo pole, I would venture to say that the Rav Yah probably did not have bamboo poles in his sukkah, unless maybe Marco Polo brought them back from China to him. Very, very unlikely. You check the history books. So the Rav Yah's tzchach was much closer to the way the rest of the class world did tzchach till about 50 years ago, branches, things of that nature. So comes to Rav Yah and says, well, whatever serving is tzchach, whatever branches and leaves and stuff that's on the top, that is the kona agabeim. So you have two poles. It's two-thirds of Tuas HaPesach. There is no need to make the kon ha'gabeim because the schach itself will serve as that substitute kon ha'gabeim. That's the chiddush of the Mordechai. That's the chiddush of the Rav Yah. The chara sounds like he's right. What could be wrong? If the Metzias HaDvarim is, you have your Kon HaGabeim, so what could possibly be deficient? What could possibly be wrong? So if you take a look at the Bir HaGra on the 15th of the Maimon Kamos, so the Bir HaGra has the following observation. It says the Bir HaGra, Aval b'Yerushalmi perk alef tesuk aloch alef, v'sari perk alef de'er v'n isa, de'eno matia mishum v'lo nasa l'kach. Wait a second. The Schach, true, it may be physically serving as a kon ha'gabeim, but clearly that wasn't your attention. You obviously weren't putting it there to be a kon ha'gabeim. You were putting it there to be schach. And there's a Meferish Yerushalmi in two places, a Masechet Sukkah, a Masechet Erevin, that says that Tzuras HaPesach, the top of Tzuras HaPesach, that wasn't Nasa L'Shem Tzuras HaPesach, is not acceptable as a Tzuras HaPesach. So says the Gra, L'Chor Tzepel on the Mordechai, L'Chor Tzepel on the Rav Yah, the schach may be physically look like it's a Pesach, but since your intention was not that way, and not that purpose, how in the world can that serve as a Tuas HaPesach? That's the kasha of the Gra. So the truth is the Gra wasn't the first one to ask this kasha. But I am Magen Avram. He references the Magen Avram, and the Magen Avram was so bothered with this kasha that he says he doesn't think we should follow this Rav Yah. He thinks the Rav Yah is not correct. It's again two Beferish Yerushalmis. So the Gra posed the question like the Magen Avram, but unlike the Magen Avraham, who threw his hands up and rejected the Rav Yah, the Gra says pshat in the Rav Yah. The Yesh Lama says the Goyim, the Svirle, the Gemara didon, polig alei Yerushalmi. says the Vilna Gaon, he thinks that the Bavli argues with the Rishami. This is a standard approach. Whenever you have a din in the Rishami, so the starting point is whatever appears in the Rishami is always accepted in the Halacha. The Halakah Marayim and Eretz Yisrael, the Tamid of Rabbi Yochanan, why should we not paskel like them? So in Ochanami, if nobody disagrees with them in the Bavli, so then you follow the Rishami. But whenever there's a machloikis in the Bavli and the Rishami, so 99% of the time we follow the Talmud Bavli. Sometimes the machloksim in the Bavli are explicit, and sometimes you need a Vilna Gaon to discover the machlokes for you. But if we can identify that the Chachmei Bavel disagree with the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, then we will most probably pass like the Bavli. Why is that? We spoke about this many times in the past. So the Rif in the end of it says, Erevin quotes the tradition from the Gaonim, that the reason why the Halach is always like the Chachmei Bavel against the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael is because they were Basaroi, they were later. The Chachmei Bavel had access, they knew what the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael said. Chachmei Eretz Yisrael was earlier generations of Yoichan and Tamid and were much, much earlier than the days of Ravina and Rav Ashi. At the time Ravina Rav Ashi put together the Talmud Bavli, they already knew what the Shittas of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael were. And if and when they argued with them, so Yochasek and Basaray, B'chon Vassaman has in his Kutras Dibre Seifim a whole very, very fancy approach as to why the Halacha follows the Chachmei Bavli over the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Not just the historical question of who was early, who was later, but Rav Chanan claims that only the Talmud Bavli had the status of a Beis and a Gadol. The Talmud Yerushalmi didn't have that status. Why is that? Because to be a Beis and a Gadol, you need one of two things, as Rabbi Chanan. It's based on the Rambam, it's Hadam and the Pirshim Shnayas. Either you need literally 71 Dayanim sitting on the Beis and a Gadol. Yeah, that's the classic Beis and a Gadol. Or if for some reason you don't have a Beis and a Gadol that's functioning, when you have a Pesach of Kol Chachmei Yisrael, Rav Chachmei Yisrael, that takes on the halachic status of a Pesach of Beis and a Gadol. So Rabbi Chanan says that the Talmud Bavli was Nimnu V'Gomer by Rav Chachmei HaTorah. Now, Lamaisa, by the time the Ravina Rav Ashi put together the Talmud Bavli, Ruba the Ruba of all the Chum in the world lived in Bavel. So the truth is, there were probably a handful still in Eretz Yisrael. You already had maybe a couple of pockets here and there, different places in the world already. But the overwhelming majority of the Chum in the world was centered in the yeshivas around Bavel. And therefore, the Talmud Bavli was Nimnu V'Gomer by Rav Chachmei Yisrael. Agiz Rav Chanan, the Talmud Yerushalmi was put together by the Talmidim Rav Yochanan. They were great. They were phenomenal. But don't forget, by the time the Talmud Yerushalmi was being put together, you had loads of Talmid Chum in Bavel already. It could be had the majority of Talmid Chum in Bavel. At the same time, the Rabbi Yochanan Talmidim were writing, you had, let's say, Rav Shmuel's Talmidim, you had Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman, you had the Gedolei Olam of that generation living in Bavel already. So Rabbi Chanan says that a Pesach of Talmud Yerushalmi has a Pesach of great Rabbanim, who are Yechidim. Whereas a Pesach of Talmud Bavli has a Pesach of a Beis and a Gadol because it's representative of Rav Chachmei Yisrael. So whether you go down the route that the Rif quotes based on the Gaonim, that Talmud Bavli was always Masrei, or whether you go down this Shechotei Rabbi Chanan, that one was the Pesach of Beis Nagol, and one was the Pesach of Yechidim, at the end of the day, that's one of the Kolei Pesach. They always follow the Talmud Bavli against the Rishalmi. So here the problem is there any Bavli that disagrees? So there is no Bavli explicit that disagrees, but the Gaon, the Baruch Kotchai, so he looked through every single line, in between all the lines of every line of the Gemara, and he shows you a few Gemaras that seem to point in the direction that the Talmud Bavli disagrees. Even though the Rishalmi holds that Tzuras HaPesach has to be Nasa B'tchil Lekach, the Bavli disagrees. What Bavli? Where Bavli? So he has a Gemara in the first part of Erevin. The Rabbeinu Berakam de Erevin, Davka B'pischa Shimoi, Lo Mishana B'shalo Nasu. There's like a sugya in the first part of Masech Erevin where the Gemara talks about different types of doorways that happen to fall short, do not quite qualify as Tzuras HaPesach. And the Gemara calls them Pischei Shimoi. So Pischei Shimoi are very, very confusing. It's a machlekes HaRishonim, I'm sorry, it's a machlekes in the Gemara, what Pischei Shimoi were. It's a machlekes in the Rishonim, what those days in the Gemara were. And it's a machlekes in the Rishonim, what the word Shimoi even means. Otherwise, everything's agreed upon by everybody. It's one of the vaguest terms in Hilchos Tzuras HaPesach. The problem is that 80% of Tzuras HaPesach depends on that phrase, Pischei Shimoi. We're not even sure what Pischei Shimoi were. So the bottom line is the Gemara lists off a few different scenarios as to different kinds of constructions of doorways that fall short. They're missing a certain quirk, either they're according to some, or perhaps they're some of the sides are not even, the thing's jutting out, many different nuances, what these Pischei Shimoi are. But in that sugya Pischei Shimoi, the Gemara never gives the most obvious example of puzzle of Tzuras HaPesach, namely Lo Nasa B'Chil Lekach. How come? Why does the Gemara say, it's Lo Nasa B'Chil Lekach, that's why it's not a good Tzuras HaPesach? You see from here that that's not a concern, that's not a consideration. That's the Goyim's diuk, that the Bavli disagrees. It's not an explicit Gemara. It's from the lack of the Gemara giving his example. The Gemara is searching high and low for Pusla to a Sepesach, and the Gemara rattles off a whole list of Pusla to a Sepesach. That is not on the list as one of them. That's the Raya of the Gemara. But Lechora, the Gemara has to do more than that. It's not enough just to show me a deed from a Gemara that the Bavli disagrees with Yushalmi. You have to explain almost conceptually why the Yushalmi should not be correct. Why shouldn't we accept Yushalmi? So let's turn the question around. Why should the Yushalmi be correct? Why did Yushalmi say what it says? What is the Nekuda? What is the Nekuda of Machlekes? According to the Goyin, there's now a Machlekes Bavli Yushalmi. The Goyin, Beruch Kotcha, he dug up Yushalmi. He dug up a deal from Shmos and the Gemara in the first part of the Erevin. He made a whole razzle-dazzle of Machlekes. And now he's got to explain to us what's the Nekuda of Machlekes? What's the longness? Shouldn't Joseph Pesach require Nasa Mitchil Lekach Anat? So comes the Goyin explains. I'll tell you what the issue is. He says it in about three words and about five Roshetavis. So he says that the Ode Shabbat Mechitzas to Kuliyam Lo Pligi V'Chulei V'Ayin Le'el V'Chulei V'Tzuras HaPesach and Kuliyam Shem Mechitza. So in those five words, the Gemara said the whole thing. There is a fundamental machlokes that permeates many, many sugyas in the first Brachah Maseches Erevin. There are a lot of different tikkunim. There are a lot of different things that are done to solve problems in Mechitzas. I'd say those who remember from the very beginning of Erevin, you have a mavoi, you have an alleyway. Say, for example, you have a mavoi sosom, so it's closed on three walls. But midirabonin, you still have to make a tikkun in the ruach harvi. You still have to make something, do something on the fourth wall. The opening mishnah begins to speak about a kaira or a lechi. Either you put a beam across, the mishnah talks about, or you put a lechi, a stick on the side. Different tikkunim that are potentially acceptable to solve whatever, to rectify whatever problem existed. What has this running shiloh? Whenever you have these kinds of tikkunim, what's the goal of these tikkunim? Are these tikkunim dinam kemechitza? Shout that. Require four walls in order to carry. So now, that fourth wall doesn't have to be a picture-perfect wall. It has to have some kind of halachic mechanism that we can label it as a wall. So that's what a kaira is. A kaira is you put a beam across the top. So the halacha says, it's almost like the opposite of good asik we spoke about. It's good aches. It means mechitza almost goes down. That once you have a beam across the top, so halachically we view it as if it goes down, it's a kar mishum mechitza. But then the question says, no, maybe we're wrong. Kar is not mishum mechitza. Kar is mishum heker. Kar is a joke. Kar is not a mechitza. Mechitzas don't go down. It's bad enough to go up, they don't go down. Now, how does kar work? Kar is going to remind you not to carry outside into the Rishus HaRabim. Really, in the Torah, you're allowed to carry anyway. You have three walls, so it's Rishus HaYochid. Midrabanan, they made a gezeira, don't carry in the mavo gezeira, make up the carry to the street. As long as you put some kind of a reminder there, that's the goal of the kaira. Or let's say you have a lechi. So instead of putting a beam across the top, I stick a pole on the ground. So the Mishnah says later on, that's also good. Lechi is a machi. But one lechi, two lechi, whatever it is, we pass it, one lechi is good. So it was the same story. Is a lechi mishum heker, or is a lechi mishum mechitza? That is an ongoing discussion in the Gemara. So lechora, you can carry that machlokes over to the next case, namely the Tirsa Pesach. Is it Tirsa Pesach Mishum Mechitza, or is it Tirsa Pesach Mishum Heker? So the answer to that question is most probably that Tirsa Pesach is not Mishum Heker. Tirsa Pesach is Mishum Mechitza. Now again, I didn't necessarily say that it solves problems in HaTorah, that was the suffering the people got from yesterday, but Tirsa Pesach where Pasha is Mishum Mechitza. What's the difference whether something is Mishum Mechitza and Heker? At the end of the day, it works. At the end of the day, it solves the problem. What's the difference? So it was a few nafkaminas. So one of the important potential nafkaminas is, does it have to be made for the purpose that it's going to serve? So let's say, for example, if you know that lechi is mishum heker, then it's very possible that if a lechi wasn't put there, l'shem lechi, it may be a problem. If a lechi is mishum mechitza, so then what do you need to be put there? It's either yish, yeh mechitza, nish mechitza. If it's objectively a mechitza, it's a mechitza. So if the lechi is mishum heker, you may need a little bit more of the input of the person to declare it to be a heker. But this should remind people of one of the avagams, lechi, I mean, elov. Why do we have a lechi and a mavoi that I of the alley, opening the mavoi, and instead of be placing a lechi, there happens to be a tree there. There's a perfect tree situated right where a lechi would be. So it's a famous machlok zibai and rabba. Is a lechi, I mean, the elov good, or is lechi, I mean, the elov not good? So part of that machlokes revolves around what is the goal of the lechi. If a lechi is mishum mechitza, then it's probably okay. Velechis b'shum heker, there's probably not going to be a ken. Again, that's part of a whole discussion of the first Bechad. So in that half a line comes the Gura and says that the Yerushalmi that was saying that Tzuras HaPesach has to be made Nasa B'tchilakach, and therefore you can't rely on this Chach as being the top of the Tzuras HaPesach. That's not acceptable. That would fit into the picture if a Tzuras HaPesach was Mishum Hekir. So that would be like the Kairach or the one opinion, the Lechi, things that have to be Nasa B'tchilakach, because otherwise you're lacking the Hekir Shabbat. But says the Gura, everybody knows that we don't hold that way. We hold that Tzuras HaPesach is Shemechitza. If so, the Tzuras HaPesach is Shemechitza, then there's no reason at all to insist on making it Chilakach. It's there, it's there. I have a wall. Let's say the Marshal. I'm surrounded on all four sides by a brick wall. Whether the wall was made Tzuras HaPesach or not, it's totally irrelevant. It's there, it's there. So says the Gra, we don't follow this Rishalmi. We don't follow the Rishalmi because it's contradicted by the Bavli. And again, the Gra's diuk was the fact that the Gemara enlisting the Pesach Tzuras HaPesach didn't list this as one. And then the Goyen added a lumdus as to why we can't accept the Rishalmi, because the Rishalmi is predicated on what we think is an incorrect understanding of what a Tzuras HaPesach is all about. So Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief to Rabbi Yehuda's Gevaldik Meridik that we're okay. The next time we want to build a Tzuras HaPesach in Hasukas, so that we could do so. And we don't even have to put a string across the top. As long as we have Schach there, we're good to go. But I want to go back to the Mordechai for a second, back to the 14th Imam and comes to read the Mordechai very, very, very carefully together. V'nirle Rav Yo, Shemagiyin hakonim ha'imdim l'tzuras Pesach ad l'schach. The Mordechai and the Rav Yo were very, very careful to highlight that not every time can the schach serve as a tzuras Pesach. What has to happen is that the konim that are put there have to reach the schach. So if I put a cut over here, I put a pole over here on the edge of my sukkah, I put a pole over here on the edge of my sukkah, and I look up and I want those bamboo poles to serve as the Tzuras HaPesach, says the Rav Yah, if the poles go all the way up to the top and they hit the konim, they hit the schach, then you're good to go. But if they don't hit the schach, then the implication of the Rav Yo is that it's no good. So I state the Rav Yo, Shemagina Konim Oimlu Tzuras HaPesach Ad L'Schach, I state Befeirush, that the Konim must reach the Schach. So the question is that something that should be concerning to us or not? That condition that the Rav Yo just threw at us, that the Konim must reach the Schach. Must reach the Schach.
Zoom. Join the meeting.
Is that something that should be of concern to us? So the Chora, it should be of tremendous concern to us. Because if we take a look at the 16th of the Mamakamos, it seems to be subject to a machlekes in the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says the 16th of the Mamakamos, every minute of the days, Tana, Tzuras HaPesach she'omru, kona mikan, v'kona mikan, v'kona agabeyan. The description of a Tzuras HaPesach, the Braisa tells us, the Tanoim tells us very, very little about Tzuras HaPesach. We have the emphasis of Tzuras HaPesach. There's almost nothing in the Gemara. The whole Gemara of Tzuras HaPesach is about an omen and a half or so. 99% of the building Erevin today revolves around the intricacies of Tzuras HaPesach. And the Gemara itself, there's a few lines here and there. In Tanoim, there's almost nothing. The first mission Erevin says something about Tzuras HaPesach. The Gemara quotes a brayse about Tzuras HaPesach. There's a here and there a smattering from the Hilchos Tanoim about Tzuras HaPesach. So you have to be medayik in every single line that you have. So the brayse says Tzuras HaPesach Amru, Kana Mikan, Kana Mikan, Kana Gabeyan. If you remember from yesterday, we said that was the Gemara that forced us to conclude that even the Rif who said that Tzuras HaPesach Shasom in Atzad is not good, the Rif did not learn Rashi's pshat that it means that the Kona Gemara has to be on top rather than on the side. The Rif had a different pshat. He said you can't stick the Tzuras HaPesach in the corner. But even according to the Rif who didn't have that pshat in the Gemara, it could be he also agrees to Rashi that it has to be Kona Mikan or Kona Mikan. That's what the Gemara says. So at the end of the day, everybody most probably agrees to this statement that Tzuras HaPesach has to have kon mikan v'kon mikan v'kon agabeyan. The Gemara is the following shaila: Tzrichin liga or ein tzrichin liga? Must the poles in the bottom reach the top, or not necessarily have to reach the top? What's the din? So can I construct the Tzuras HaPesach hazot, a pole here, and the wire 10 feet above? Is it necessary for them to touch it up? Rav Nachman am ein tzrichin liga, Rav Sheshi am a tzrichin liga. Rav Nachman said, not necessary, they don't have to touch. Rav Sheshet says, very, very nice. What's the issue? What should the din be? So our initial reaction would be, this is probably related to the issue of good asik. Because remember, we already spoke about this earlier, that there's a principle of luchas mechitzas. Once you have mechitza, once you tend tefachim, you're good to go. And the mechitza is ola ad l'rakia. We had a machlekes a rishonim, whether you say mechitza is ola rakia, it's mechitza shen nikeres. That was the opening. That was the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah, but in mechitza nikeres v'leikin. The machlekes the Ran and the Ramban, that was Reb Chaim Zalbir. But putting aside that mechitza shen nikeres, there is a principle of mechitza called good asik mechitza. Once you have a mechitza, then it shoots all the way up to the top. So maybe that's what's going on here as well. Maybe Reb Nachman said, just as the mechitza shoots up to the top, so too the poles of the Tzuras HaPesach shoot all the way up to the top. Maybe good asik is the engine that's driving the ability of those poles to shoot all the way to the top. Means everyone agrees fundamentally you have to have the poles touching the top. That's like a given. But Api Aloch, you have it based on the principle of good asik. If that's the case, why would Rav Sheshet deny good asik? Well, Rav Sheshet didn't know the Aloch was seen of good asik. So I think of a few reasons. Maybe Rav Sheshet held a good asik only applies to a real mechitza. Maybe Tzuras HaPesach is not 100% a mechitza. According to Rishalmi, it definitely wasn't. Maybe even according to the Bible, it's not a full-fledged mechitza. Or maybe there are some other things going wrong here. Maybe good asik mechitza means when you have a mechitza, then you can continue the mechitza through the principle of good asik. Here, you're using good asik to create the mechitza in the first place. Because the tzura of this mechitza is being a Tzuras HaPesach. So if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, then we can negotiate it's a good asik mechitza. But can you use good asik to create a mechitza? Maybe that's the problem. Or maybe there's another issue involved here. Maybe Tzuras HaPesach, it's not enough to be a mechitza. It has to really give off the look of a Pesach. The whole goal of Tzuras HaPesach is it should look like a Pesach. Remember we saw yesterday that the Rif claimed, the name of the Goin, that if you make it Tzuras HaPesach and a Keren Zophis, it doesn't work because that's not what people put Pesach in. It's just not the way things are done. So it could be that the reason why Sheshet sells Tzrichin Liga is even though in Hilchos Mechitzes it's good, maybe Tzuras HaPesach has to resemble a Pesach. And we didn't get into the intricacies of Pischei Shimoi, but according to many, that's the reason why some of those Pischei Shimoi are problematic. So there are a whole bunch of different ways of learning what the Nekudas HaMachlokes of Nachman Sheshet is all about. But at the end of the day, we don't want to get too carried away with this because we passed the Rav Nachman and Tzrichin Liga. That the Halacha is we passed the Tzrichin Liga. Now, whether or not that means we've accepted the idea that good asik applies to Tzuras HaPesach, or maybe Ein Tzrichin Liga is not even working with good asik, maybe it's based on an entirely different picture in Halacha, that's a Tzuras HaPesach lomdus. But Acharei Klei Sekol, we generally assume Halacha like Rav Nachman, the Pasha and the Sugya is like Rav Nachman, Ein Tzrichin Liga. If that's the case, that Ein Tzrichin Liga, then we have a big problem. And the Mordechai and the Rav Yehuda Chayra are a little bit too machmir here. The Mordechai and the Rav Yehuda give us a great kula. We had trouble with Rishama, we kind of glossed over that. That the Mordechai and the Rav Yehuda were the ones who mechadish to us that you can use the schach to be the top of the Tzuras HaPesach. That would be acceptable. Even though it wasn't Nasa Mechilakach. Okay, Zol Zayin, the Nasa Mechilakach, the Goyen explained to us, it's fine. But in presenting this Kula, Rav Yoh through a Chumras, Rav Yoh said that it has to be Magia. What does it have to be Magia? If you really believe that you can use Tzuras HaPesach by using the top of the Schach, even if it's the Nasa Mechilakach, why does it have to be Magia? Why does it have to touch? We pass it in Chichen Liga, but the Mordechai didn't pass it. Well, everyone passed it. Just about everybody passed it. Well, in Chichen Liga. So why did the Mordechai and the Rav Yehuda insist that Rak Shemagiyim Akondim Ma'ayim just out the schach, then it's okay? Why is that? So there is a startling statement in the Prima Gadim, which if we would accept this Prima Gadim, it would be very, very problematic in many Erevin. The Prima Gadim suggests that but Medivam Amurim, that Tzuras HaPesach ain't Tzrichin Liga, that's if it's Nasa L'Shem Tzuras HaPesach. But if it wasn't Nasa L'Shem Tzuras HaPesach, so that's a problem. Then we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi that's no good lagamre, but we do paskin that's tzrichim liga under those circumstances. So if you have almost like two strikes against you, it's lo nasa mitchilikach, and the sides are not touching the top, it's up to prima gadim, those two factors combine together to disqualify the tzrichim pesach. And that's what the Rav Yehuda is driving. So it's a conceptually very, very difficult prima gadim to understand, because this is one of a classic examples of, remember, question Mashiach, it's going to be 0 plus 0, 0 plus 0, 0. It means, I don't understand. We paskin in tzrichim liga. Number two, we paskin that it's just best, doesn't have to be nasa mitchilikach. So in the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with either one of those two tiers of essence. So why if you have both of those irrelevant factors combined together to cause a problem? So we don't understand. It's very, very hard to understand the spiritual garden. If the spiritual garden would be right, what this would mean for us would be as follows. You might say, we have a lot of tiers of essence, so nasa mitchilikach. It's called telephone poles. When Jersey Bell knocked in those phone wires back in the 1800s, so they weren't saying, Hini Mucham Zum and Shem Tiers of Pesach. None of our phone wires are Tiers of Pesach. None of our electric wires. None of these Nasal Shem Tiers of Pesach. I remember we mentioned yesterday that very often our phone wires, electric wires, are not great because very often they're Minatzad, the Rashi's version of Minatzad. So what the Minig Olam is that we don't really rely on the telephone poles. What we do is we put in our own lechis. We take a piece of wood and we nail a piece of wood into the telephone pole, and we position it underneath the wire, and Shalom Yisrael, and now you get to go. You have a Tirus HaPesach now. Wait a second. In order to knock in that pole, the last thing we want to do is to make a piece of wood to go all the way to the top. Well, why is it pretty high up? It would be so much easier just to take a small piece of wood, 10 tefachim tall, and bang it into the telephone pole, look up to the top, and shine. Ain't Tzrichim Liga, right? That would be great. That would be wonderful. So comes the people and says, no, the air is no good. Because since the top wire wasn't Nasa B'Tchilakach, that's the Tzrichim Pesach Shlo Nasa B'Tchilakach. You can combine the Tzrichim Pesach Shlo Nasa B'Tchilakach together with an Ain't Tzrichim Liga. That's a no-no. So I don't think that we paskin like this people garden. Most Erevin, or many Erevin, at least in the more recent years, try not to rely on the mere 10 tefachim piece of wood nailed into the pole, telephone poles, not because they're chayshish for the people, not because anyone's going to chayshish for the people. The reason why we don't like to rely on it is for other reasons, is that it's not always the easiest thing to do to be able to position those poles properly for the following reason. The poles came right that even though we pass Gedein Tzrichim Liga, but it still has to be directly underneath the wire. Ain't Tzrichim Liga, but it's got to be, whether you think this is based on Gudasik, whether you think it's based on a din of Pranachos to Sebesach, Lemaisa, it's got to go from the, it's got to be some imaginary halakhic line that goes from the top of the pole, on the side of the pole, top of the piece of wood, on the side of the pole, all the way up to that wire. So how are you going to draw that line exactly? So this is a big, big, big machlekes at Paiskim. Our eyes play tricks with us in this. If you stand next to an Erev pole, next to a telephone pole with a piece of wood nailed in 10 tefachim, and you look up, and you'll be willing to take a shvud deraisa that you're under the wire, 9 out of 10 times you're wrong. It is just very, very difficult to tell whether you're really under the wire or not. So to avoid any confusion with improperly positioned poles, it's a much smarter thing to do to actually go all the way up to the top, to reach all the way to the top. Usually it's not done with wood, it's usually done with plastic, other things that the way the Erevin are built now, and they try, it's preferable they should go all the way to the top, not to get involved in these kind of shadows. But my, every once in a while, you have to rely on the Gemara, ancient league, on the din that really is true. Then you have to figure out how to position it properly. So there was a big, big machlekes in place already in Europe, a major, major place in Europe that has spilled over to America as well. How do you know whether you're directly under the any paiskim in Europe, and the Maishra is of this opinion, you use the naked eye, namely, very simple experiment. Look good, okay, you're good to go. That's one view of paiskim. If it looks like you're under, if you would actually scientifically measure it, you wouldn't be. Doesn't that the Torah, the Shiria Torah, were given the fear of ice in a hadayim? Another paiskim say, that's not true. It has to be exact. You have to mamish be under the vault. How do you know you're under the wire? So you better figure out how to do it. So you'll get your plumb lines, you'll get your laser guns. You'll figure out an eitzah. You'll figure out an eitzah. I don't know that you're directly under or not. So this is a major, major machlokes. So it's usually it's assumed that the machmirim were the ones who say you need the laser guns and you need the plumb lines and you need all these kunsim, and the mekilim were the ones who said you follow the eye. So there's a fascinating flip side machlokes in the Peskim. What if, according to the laser guns, you're under it, but according to the human eye, you're 30 feet away? So some wanted to say that according to the first group, Puskin, the air is puzzle. That unless you can tell the fear of Isen and that is Rosen and it's not a kula, Rosen and that is the din. Kach nimsa Allah, that's the din. The din of ancient lingua was nimsa to us, that it has to be the fear of Isen and that. So you can have all that lasers from today till Abias Goyal, it's not going to help. That would be a huge chumra, because sometimes the lasers don't correspond to what you're looking at. So now you have to make sure it has to be so close that it's both right, lefi ra'isa ne'adayin, and according to the laser guns. It's complicated. It gets very, very complicated. I don't know. I'm not so involved in the intricacies of Erevin. I only use laser guns one time on my sukkah. I used it the first year that we moved here. So those who know where my sukkah is, I can't have the camera, you wouldn't exactly see. But the wall of the sukkah that's against my house, it's not really against the house. It protrudes out a little bit. The reason why it protrudes out a little bit is because we have a ledge coming right up there, you know, 50 feet up. There's a ledge coming out on the side of the house. So I wanted the sukkah to make sure that the entire sukkah was away from that ledge. Shouldn't be any chashash whatsoever. Even if it would be a little bit of wood, it disqualified the sukkah. You have the finakumas and the tvachim and four. But I don't have any part of the sukkah that would be questionable that you can't sit in that part of the sukkah. So I wanted to make sure that I was really not under. So the first year I built the sukkah here, 15 years ago, so I stood there and I looked up and I said, to me, it looks like we're in the clear. But you know what? I'm not 100% sure. Let's get the lasers out. So we got somebody to come with a laser gun and shot it. We cleared it by about a foot. So we're getting rid of chashash. We're well out of any harm's way in terms of that corner. So anyway, so back to the story. So according to the Supreme Court, this would knock out a lot of airmen. Because since we rely so often on lo nasa v'chilakach combined with eitzich and liga, that wouldn't bode well for us. But the evidence is very, very hard to understand why that concern the Prima Gadim should be true. So the Chazon Ish in the 17th Maamar Kamos had a different way of reading the Rav Yoh.
Rabbi, according to the Prima Gadim, when you put the wood pole up, wouldn't that be considered making a new maisa, and that's nasa v'chilakach?
No, but the problem is that and the whole Rishami wouldn't be true. Because Rishami also, you're putting up the poles, the Tzorach Tzorach HaPesach, and Rishami still said it was no good, because that was the Rishami called L'Nas L'Chilakach. So the Chazon Ish in the 17th of Maamar Kamos has the following. V'hine, Hitzrich Rav Yoshi Yagiu HaKonim L'Schach. In brackets, the Chazon Ish writes, U'mashma D'Losh Yiu Neged HaSchach Ko'amar, El Shagiu Mamish Ko'amar. Says the Chazon Ish, don't think that Rav Yoh was lav dafka in his loshon. If he was lav dafka, then the shir ended already. No, he was very dafka in his loshon. The kosher for the Chazon Ish, lama tzach sheyagiyo kavlan in tzichin liga. The amnom, here's the Chazon Ish. Kam Rav Yoh sovar dischach gora v'chol shlo higiyo hakonim arischach amrina dischach letikra avida lo choshu schach mashkoif. Says the Chazon Ish. The whole idea of using schach as the mashko for Tiras HaPesach is very bizarre. I'll tell you what. A ceiling cannot be a mashko. A doorpost means a konmikan. You can't take two poles and put it under a full ceiling and say, oh, that's the Tiras HaPesach. A tikra is not a mashko. Mashko is not a tikra. If I were to ask you, I'm looking at my schach right now. What is my schach? Is my schach a tikra? Of course it's a tikra. That's the whole world supposed to be. Tochin Chatein, supposed to be protecting me, but basically serving as a tikra, not a real tikra. A real tikra would be possible, because there's tikra. Give me a real ceiling. But the goal of a schach is to be basically the role of a tikra, to be the roof of a house. So by definition, schach cannot be a kona al gabeyan of Tzuris HaPesach. That's a steer in Eubay. So says the Chazon Ish, now is what we part ways. If the konim reach the top, So they almost like a mafkia, that part of the schach from the Shem Tikra, and they almost like schlep along that part of the schach to make it into part of the Tzuras HaPesach. Then and only then, they'll cut the pieces, the branches, and bamboos, they can now double and say they could serve as a Tzuras HaPesach. But if the kodim don't reach the top, so then there's no shaykhas, there's no connection. Apidin, there's a fancy razzle, that's good, that's not going to do the trick. In a regular Tzuras HaPesach, all you need is to put kodim on the sides and then gudasi carries a day, or ein tzichin liga, whatever ein tzichin liga is based on carries a day. When it comes to using the schach for the kana gabayim, you need much more than just a regular dinim to the Pesach. You have to be mafkir the shem tikra from it. The mafkir the shem tikra is of the chazanish koshlo yigiva kana ba the schach amin schach tikra vidu lachosh schach mashkaif. So according to the chazanish, it's not exactly like the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim said anytime you have, so it's not nasa b'chil chach, the game's over, unless it's magia. According to the chazanish, that's not true. The telephone wires can work as a Tzuras HaPesach, even though they're not Nasa B'Chilakach. You don't need Tzrichin Liga for telephone wires. That was never required. The only time you require Tzrichin Liga is only by the unique deficiency in Schach, because Schach is basically functioning as a Tikkun, not as Mashkaif. That's the problem. That's why you need Tzrichin Liga. Again, I'm not going to make a between the Prima Gadim and the Chazanish. I'm just going to tell you that the Chazanish would make life easier for us in terms of this particular prat. But again, so there are two major nekudas that emanate from this discussion, it's Mordechai and Rabbi Yoh. The first issue is, can we even use something that's not lonasa l'chilakach altogether? So the Rishalmi clearly said not. Babli most probably said yes. The Goyen explained, it's the Babli shetos and open to us the best of Mishra Mechitza. Then you have the second question, of a zoi that we're able to use the lonasa l'chilakach as the top of Tzuras HaPesach, why should it not be subject to the regular kulos of Ein Tzrichin Liga? So we suggested one possibility was the Prima Gadim, which we had difficulty understanding, and the second was the Chazanish's understanding, which again would pose significantly less problems for us in terms of it. So we pretty much made a seam on the lomdus and the potential applications of the halacha in terms of Tzuras HaPesach, both in terms of a sukkah, primarily in terms of sukkah, and then of course some spill off the Erevin. Just for a minute or two at the end, I just want to end with a little bit of divrei drush, a little bit of divrei chizuk. We mentioned yesterday that there are two halachas that govern mechitzas. One is omen rubel aparot, and the second was you can't have a piritza more than 10 amos. We mentioned yesterday that the first halacha was almost 100% sure that it's halacha Moshe Messina. The Gemara used the lashon okay, Agmar Rachman LeMoshe, but imkozeh there was some who suggested maybe it's not really the right. So maybe that lashon.